This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
It feels like forever since Bachelor season 20 aired, and now we're on to Bachelorette season. I don't even know which one this is. With JoJo, what number is this, Ashley?
What was Caitlyn? Was that 10?
Oh, geez. Now
I
we're
feel like
be...
Caitlyn was 10. I think JoJo was 11. That's just off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, hey, it's JoJo's season of The Bachelorette airing this week. We're going to break down her season. You know, a little memorial. That would be like if that's, I mean, I guess that season's over, so it could be a memorial, but we're just going to.
Reflection
on JoJo's season of The Bachelorette. It was a great season with a great bachelorette who you and I both think the world of.
Yeah.
But first, as always, we're going to get into some Bachelor Hot Topics. The list of Hot Topics this week are some that I know nothing about. As usual, I need you to educate me. And I'm reading the headlines right now, and I am incredibly intrigued. So, Ashley, let's start with Bachelor Hot Topics, and then we're going to bring on some of JoJo's men from the season. The Bachelorette is set to resume production. This, according to Variety.com and a lot of other sources.
I mean, I would say this is the number one hot topic of the week. People have asked for the past, you know, 3 months when they're going to resume with filming The Bachelorette, and the time is here. They won't be filming in Los Angeles County. However, they are shooting in a private area in Southern California. This is what Variety said. And everybody, cast and crew, will be quarantined. Temperatures will be taken. Everything is obviously going to be isolated. Producers feel like it's going to be, the risk is going to be limited. And it's going to be shot like on a soundstage, basically.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of details
sort of,
still
kind of
left. Yeah, it's still like a lot of details have been left unsaid. But we can assume that the show is right now working towards what is a safe environment. I mean, similar to the PGA Tour, which is one of our best, you know, NASCAR as well. Some of the best examples of public gatherings at this point. There's been massive precautions taking place. And everybody wants that because as soon as one person would get infected, the risk that everybody would get infected would be pretty high. And so, as we just mentioned, right now the headline is that The Bachelorette and the production team around that are resuming filming and talking about the details, and that is more to come soon. But let's stay with Claire for a bit. There's a couple other headlines that I think are important to touch on. As Claire does begin to, you know, look towards the resuming of filming or the start of filming, she admits to Googling her Bachelorette contestants, and she says she did it with zero shame.
Of course, zero shame. But the thing is, I feel like half of those guys, maybe a third, will still be there because they
Is that what we're hearing? Is that they're going to totally recast?
Again, completely vague, but I heard somewhere that like it could be as little as 10 guys originally.
I mean, we do know Matt James won't be there.
Matt James will not be there.
He was originally announced a part of Claire Crawley's season, but we do know now he is the next Bachelor. So it's going to be a limited number of men. It's going to be in a bubble of sorts to protect everybody from the COVID-19 virus. Now, Ashley, I want to get your opinion. It's something I've been thinking about. Do you think this new strategy of a bubble environment, maybe a soundstage, maybe a resort that they kind of shut down just for filming, fewer amount of men, less amount of time to film and to date, do you see this being a problem for Claire and her men, or do you actually see this being a benefit?
I think it's going to be a benefit. One, she's going to be so much more well-rested. She's not going to have those days where she has to go around and just take footage, you know, B-roll footage around the new city. She's not going to have any like kitschy dates, which are really fun for us as an audience. Like, you know, the ones that you had with celebrities.
Yeah.
But because, by the way, you guys, they're not letting anybody on the set, basically. Like, if there's no visitors, everybody who starts there, like, is the only ones who enter. They are going... I feel like it's just without all that, the fireworks, the sparkle of what the show normally comes with, which is like super fun for the viewer, it may not be helpful for finding love. And I feel like with Claire, taking this maybe even more seriously than your average lead, it's going to be very beneficial. And hey, if I could even get, if I have never been in the lead, but knowing that you guys get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, I'd be very thankful for this style over that style, because give me a couple more hours of sleep and I'll probably be making better decisions.
Definitely. No, I mean, I see what you're saying. I do think it's a benefit, especially the rest. And also, I think it's going to be fun to see more of the relationship. I mean, they're going to have, like, the content that they're going to be filming is going to be the relationship part and not the B-roll and not the random, like, traveling. It's going to have to be the one-on-one dates. It's going to be the group dates. It's going to be the conversations. And for me, that's what I enjoy about the show.
Yeah. So what I love is that we may be able to see more funny moments amongst the contestants. We may be able to see more in-depth conversations that aren't just bachelor speak. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm falling in love with you, or like, where do you see this going? Like, we want to see like stuff that we actually would talk about in real life on the first couple dates.
Definitely. Well, you know, speaking of talking about some important things and some things that are definitely needed for a relationship, right now we're getting to learn more and more about Claire and hear more about her from interviews. Obviously, Claire has spoken recently to the Happy Hour podcast with Rachel and Becca, and Claire opened up about a past abusive relationship. And at the same time, then she goes on to explain what she's now looking for in a relationship. This, again, according to the Happy Hour podcast.
So she talks about how going into Juan Pablo's season, she had just gotten out of an abusive relationship. She said at the lowest point, she was living in her car. And she just said that the entire time she was trying to be strong, trying to be empowered. And then, you know, when Juan Pablo dumps her in the end and said the things that he said to her in the end, that's just kind of like when she broke and she was like, nope, this is not okay. You do not disrespect somebody like this. And I think it was just kind of like that entire season, she was just kind of like recovering from the abuse and trying to tough it out. And then she was just like, oh, you know what? Never mind. This is when the strength is really going to come out.
Now, do you remember, Ashley, and I know it's a very sensitive subject, especially within the Bachelor world, but what did Juan Pablo say exactly to Claire to really fire her up?
Ben, do you know this? Are you asking for your sake?
I think I know it.
Okay, so you guys can beep this out. But he said, I really, really like you. I don't love you, but I love f***ing you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely there's a reason why we don't hear from Juan Pablo anymore.
So crazy.
So terrible. Ashley, a couple other headlines. Obviously, we've just got done talking about Claire Crawley season, which we are very excited about and looking forward to. A couple smaller stories here. Caitlyn Jenner goes golfing with Bachelor Peter Weber and his family. I mean, I know they all live in a very similar area of town, but I saw this on Instagram. And Ashley, I was shocked.
We don't have much info about this friendship, whether it's a new friendship or not. But Caitlyn Jenner was the one who posted the Instagram. So either she's a fan of The Bachelor or has known the Webbers from being in that Malibu area for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a couple bursts on the way and a couple family matters to get to. Obviously, we just recently had Becca Martinez on the podcast, and she reveals now her son's name 5 days after birth. Now, we did not give the update. Becca Martinez did have a baby 5 days ago, and she has now came up with the name. Or I guess not came up with. We don't know. Maybe it just announced the name.
No, she like actually, the baby actually didn't have a name for a couple days. She said that he was born on the day that her boyfriend was reopening his rock climbing place in Long Beach. And between that, just like the chaos of giving birth at home and everything that's going on in the world, she just said that she just really didn't feel a name until, you know, 5 days later. And it is Franklin James.
Well, that is quite the name. And congratulations to Becca Martinez. Also, congratulations to Bachelor alum. who was also a bachelorette for a short period of time, Britton Nielsen.
Yeah.
She welcomes her daughter Noah, Ellis Joy, with husband Jeremy into this world.
It was a big baby. She was 9 pounds, 21 inches long. And it says that her name in Japanese means my love or from love.
It's beautiful. Well, hey, congratulations also to Britt. Two other family topics. Lauren Bushnell, or I guess Lauren Lane now, as probably we should call her, pins tribute to Chris Lane as she reveals they've been praying to start a family.
So Lauren took to Instagram to tell everyone that, you know, they're thinking, trying about having a baby. And she said, I just want to read the quote. When I was talking to Chris, he said, have you prayed about it? Conceiving. And then I said, well, yes. And then he responded, have you really prayed hard about it? If that's what we really want, pray. And you know that it will happen in God's time. And if it's what he wants for us, and I'll pray with you. And Lauren just got really emotional about this. And she wrote about how much she appreciates Chris and is grateful for the relationship and faith they have together.
Well, we will be keeping everybody updated on that story coming up. Obviously, nothing happens overnight. I mean, at least we won't know about it overnight. And so, we look forward to all of these family events, and especially this update where, you know what, we've always hinted at it. Your good friend Carly Waddle and Evan Bass, who have been together since Bachelor in Paradise, they don't want any more kids. We've always wondered if they're going to or not, but they said they're done. Their exact quote, according to Us Magazine, is, we wouldn't make it if we had more.
So she's referring to their marriage, and, you know, Carly is just so real, and I love that about her. You know that when she said this, she wasn't like, we would get divorced if we had another kid. That's not what she means by it. She just means that it would put a further strain on their relationship, and she's already so exhausted with the two kids, and she's already, you know, she already finds it hard to find time for herself and time for Evan in addition to the kids. So she just, you know, for the sake of their marriage, it'll be easier if they just keep it at two plus the three stepchildren that she has with him.
That's fair. That's fair.
Think about that. Hey, they really have five kids. They have five kids.
It's a wild undertaking. I do feel like the hot topics of this podcast were about family and the hopeful starts to families and desires and the wishes. Bachelor Nation is expanding quickly. But there's also some unfortunate news. You know, we've had Demi Burnett on the podcast before. Demi is a friend of ours, and we did an in-depth with her just a few weeks ago at this point. Mm-hmm. At that time, she was with her boyfriend Slater Davis during the quarantine, but has now opened up. They have split due to toxic trust issues.
Yeah, she said that self-isolating together was essentially what messed up their relationship. She said being with somebody that you just met like a month ago and then spending every single day together, both of us were going stir crazy, not being ourselves, not doing our normal routines, and it really gets to people. She said that she loves him. She's crazy about him. He's wonderful, and it's just been really hard. She said that they were wanting to work on themselves and that they're still good friends. It's just never fun. It's just never fun when you're going through a breakup. So who knows if it's like the real end for them. But right now they are working on themselves. All right. Well, that's it for Hot Topics this week. After this break, we have some great interviews with Luke Pell, Wells Adams, Derek Paith, and Grant Kemp.
Up first to the podcast, Ashley, he's been great to the Almost Famous podcast. It's Derek Paith. What do you think about Derek Paith?
I love Derek. He's so funny and warm, and I feel like very, very comfortable around him.
He was with us during our San Francisco live show back a couple months ago. He did one of the most impressive things I've ever seen another human do.
What was that?
He ate a whole block
of cheese.
Oh,
that's right. Oh, my God. You guys, it was brie. So imagine a big brie circle, right? He ate the entire thing as a dare. I don't know how it went over in his hotel room later. Or maybe it was the opposite. Maybe, like, he was blocked up for a week.
Here's one thing I don't know what the repercussions, I know what they would be to me. Yeah. But Ashley, here's one of the things that I noticed. I mean, we had had a few drinks. Now, nobody was overindulging with the liquor before the show because we were in front of a live audience. Derek definitely was not overindulging when it comes to alcoholic beverages, but he claimed that the brie actually got him, like, cheese drunk, which is what I research. It's almost a thing. Like, when you eat so much cheese. Yes. It, like, messes with your brain a little bit for a while. You get, like, a high from eating too much cheese.
Is this one of those things that Ben, like, he, like, finds very, very, very small evidence on, and then it's just, like, a fact?
Yeah. Hey, when have I led you astray?
I don't know. You haven't.
Never.
No.
Yeah. My facts are my facts. Ashley, anyways, hey, let's bring on Derek to the Almost Famous Podcast.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Ashley.
So we just watched your departure on JoJo's season, and they really, really milked the Don't Cry For Me Argentina part, which I thought was hilarious the first 30 seconds. And I don't know if this was in the original, but I'm pretty sure they played the song for like a whole 2 minutes as you cried in the backseat.
They did. Did you cry along with me?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Partners in cry.
Oh, wow.
Can't help myself with a pun, right, Ben? Yeah, when I watched it the very first time, you know, it's funny because when you actually look at it, I was like trying to justify it because I was like, oh, I didn't really cry that much. And you know, like trying to tell myself that because I was just like kind of ashamed of it back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as you know, we should, you know, own that stuff. And so I learned over time. Yeah, but it was funny to see again and like see the actual full scale tearful exit.
What about that moment made it so emotional for you?
I think it was just because it was so surprising. You know, obviously, like we chatted with some of the producers leading up to organizing, like watching the season back and everything. And I was talking with one of them about how with Chase, everybody was kind of prepared for him to be the one like heading home that night. And the whole like production team in the background actually ended up running around because they were.
What?
Yeah, they were surprised by like the decision that was made.
Wait, this is actually very juicy.
Yeah. And so it was, I guess like even watching that, it just added to me going, this didn't make any sense to me at the time. Obviously now, like I get it, you know, she knew no with me, but she didn't know that it was a no with Chase. And so like, she still had to explore that. I think she just knew who I was more because we'd spent so much time together. So I, you know, I get it. And, I'm thankful that, I didn't, you know, get more, I guess, emotionally invested than I already was, which was quite a bit, obviously.
You guys, so you talked about with Chris Harrison the way that you weren't comfortable with emotion so much up until doing The Bachelorette. How has like your whole life changed now that you're more comfortable in dating, in like family relationships?
I mean, so much for the better. You know, I think like before it was like I'd put this pressure on myself to grew up in the Midwest, you know, like be a manly man or whatever. And the truth is that it's like doesn't just allow you to be you. And so I think now I'm just more in the moment, like who I am, how I, you know, respond, as opposed to overthinking about how what I should say or how I should react to things. So I feel so blessed. I can't tell you how blessed I am that I've been through that. It was real painful. Yeah. It was really hard. I like rejected the whole world and like shut down on all social media for a while because people were laughing about it. And I was like, oh, people shouldn't be laughing about that. You know, I didn't get it at the time.
People are laughing about you crying on The Bachelorette. That's like not that rare.
I know, exactly. But you know what? It was a good learning opportunity for me.
Well, recently, Derek, you have announced and I guess started a relationship with just a beautiful person who I've had the, the pleasure of meeting.
What
I mean, as kind of off the question Ashley just asked, what lessons have you taken into this relationship and how's it going?
I think that I mean, in line with that, my relationships are so much better now from, again, instead of like trying to fit myself or like overthink, who I am into a relationship too. You know, I have in the past, like definitely found myself trying to like fit into someone else's, I'm a people pleaser, you know, try to fit into someone else's like world of what they want or what I think would make the relationship last longer because they're asking for things. And I think I am just like so much more myself now, which has made, our relationship so much more powerful and better. Mine with Saffron, we'll say her name, Ben.
Saffron.
Yeah.
Saffron. And I'm looking at her picture. She's so pretty.
She is on the inside as well. But yeah, I think that that speaks a lot to how like we've been able to go from dating for a few weeks to basically living together for the last like 3 months. It's over 100 days now, because she's naturally that way, you know, but like, I don't think I would have been that way. And, so it's just, you know, it allows us to actually, I think, know that, that this is going places.
Hey, super pumped for you, buddy.
How'd you guys meet?
You've met her before. Ben actually met her the second time we hung out, because Ben and Wells were in town. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I invited her by because I already could see that, you know, connection that we had.
Oh, that's awesome.
We were eating dinner next to each other. And actually, I mean, I know you guys both know Charlene. I was eating with she and her husband, and we were just eating right next to each other at the restaurant.
That's so cute and cool.
Love.
I have
a little everyday, you know, crossing paths kind of thing.
I have one little final question for you. What happened with you being on the Betches podcast?
You know, like everything that happened with us going through lockdown, etc., it was just like so much, I think, on both of us that it made sense to not, you know, do that anymore. On both sides. Yeah. All right.
Well, we will miss you on that podcast. You're a great host. You're a great dude. Have fun with the week ahead and kind of celebrating this whole week of JoJo and her men. And also, once again, congratulations on the new relationship with a beautiful girl named Saffron. Hey, Derek Paith, you're the man. Talk to you soon.
I miss you guys.
Miss
you.
Hopefully
I see you. Bye.
Ashley, we'll just roll right in here to our next guest, who is somebody who Bachelor Nation definitely knows. They've 100% enjoyed. His face has shown up every year somehow, some way since his time on The Bachelorette. One of my favorite people in the world. Welcome to the Almost Famous podcast, our friend Wells Adams.
Hi, Wells.
Hello.
Hello. okay. What made me literally laugh out loud in this recap reflection on JoJo season was when you said for the first time that you saw Chad not just eat the meat on the chicken, but actually the bones.
Yeah, so you guys remember you have dead days, right? Like travel days. There's no filming going on. And it was the week between leaving, or was the day between leaving the mansion and going to our first stop, which was the beautiful vistas of Nemacolin, Pennsylvania. And so, like, Robbie decided to grill up some it was ribs. It was pork ribs.
Oh, sorry, pork ribs. That's right. I forgot.
And no joke, he was biting the rib and the bone and then chewing it up and eating it. I remember being like, what are you doing? And he was like, you know, it's great. There's a lot of great protein in here. And I just remember being like, you are going to be shitting blood for the next 3 weeks.
Wait, so this isn't like, this wasn't a joke.
Exactly.
I've always thought this was a joke.
There's no cameras that day. So there was no cameras and he voluntarily ate the bones because that would have been a great on-camera moment.
Oh my God, it would have been, I just remember being like, I was like, I thought it was a shtick for a long time. Like he was like a plant.
Yeah.
was like there to like mess with us. And then he did that now, and there were no cameras around. I was like, oh man, this is real life. Yeah.
Aren't those the best moments though? Like the moments where you're on the show and you're like, this is when people won't believe me that it's not scripted. Like stuff like that's happening. You're like, nobody will ever believe me that this Chad is real.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the best stuff was always, I remember being like, where are the cameras right now? There was one when we got to Argentina and we ended up getting so drunk because like the Malbec wine was a flowing. There was no cameras. So we just sat and played poker for like 4 hours straight. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I got so and I remember a producer was like, you need to go to bed. And I was like, I'll be fine. I was my breath. And the next day was my one-on-one. And that's why everyone was like, Wells looks nervous. I wasn't nervous. I was thinking I was going to throw up the entire
And soon Wells went home.
Wells, you also talk about how you thought that you were going to get the first impression rose so much so that you actually stood up as JoJo walked to you. Can we like know more about what you guys talked about? Because I feel like you weren't a focal point at that point for JoJo.
Well, the dialogue was that like I had the best intro amongst the guys. Everyone was like, that's not fair. You brought a band with you? And I was like, yeah, man. So like that was the dialogue amongst the guys just in general. And then we had like, you don't see it, but because like Daniel gets drunk and jumps in the pool and like Jordan makes out with her. So there was like bigger storylines, but I was followed around by All For One the entire night. So like I would walk around, they'd just be singing a cappella behind me. And I was just like, this is badass. I got like this band behind me. So when I hung out with JoJo, they were singing behind us, like serenading us. And she was like, is this what your life is like? And I was like, every day I got a new band that just follows me around. We go to Subway, you order a sandwich, there'll be a band singing in the background. And she thought it was so funny. And I was like, this is good. I had a good intro. We had a really good conversation. I didn't know that like people were making out with their night one, like right. Jumps. So I was like, I got this for sure. And so, yeah, when she comes around the corner, I get up and I'm like, and then she's walking and I was like, okay, see you later.
Oh, it's awkward. That hurts. Well, Wells, you know, you came onto the show already with a very successful career in Nashville as a radio host. You know, you'd consistently gotten awards in Nashville for your time there. And then you come on this show and life has kind of, I mean, I think for anybody out there, this doesn't necessarily has changed your life. It's enhanced it in every way. For anybody out there that's kind of needing caught up on what's gone on over the last, 4 years since your time on The Bachelorette, what's been going on?
I did some laundry today. Got that. what's been going on? So yeah, if you're not caught up, after my season of The Bachelorette, then I went on Bachelor in Paradise, where I ended up making out with your co-host here.
Hi. Yep.
Hi. that's great.
Didn't work out, but I ended up scoring like a pretty cush gig with Paradise. They let me go back every year and be the bartender and give advice and make drinks.
Interrupting, what was your favorite season to bartend for?
I mean, BIP4, my first season doing it was the best, but it was also the worst because it was the season that there was the scandal and the shutdown. But it was one of those things that, like, you know, like tragedy and like chaos kind of like really bond people. And that's what happened that season. We were all like really bonded because we all went through a weird thing that like no one will ever have to experience again. But we were like, we were quarantined. We got shut down for 10 days. We couldn't do anything. We had to all hang out together. There was no filming.
That was your first quarantine.
I know. I got good at quarantining then. I remember because I live in a different hotel than everyone else does. And so for like 6 days, I was all by myself. And I remember calling up Alon and I was like, one of the EPs, and I was like, hey, can I come hang out with everybody? I'm really lonely. Oh, and they're like, oh, we forgot about you. Yeah, come on, we'll send a party. But anyways, yeah, so I do the Paradise bartending gig, and then at some point in the middle there, I convinced a girl to get engaged with me. Her name's Sarah Hyland. You probably know her from the show Modern Family. We were happily engaged, and then I'm just still working and doing, you know, podcasts and hosting gigs and all that kind of stuff, staying busy. That's about it.
I always talk about how Ben really needed The Bachelor to find Jess, because if it weren't for him and his blue check mark and, you know, being a reliable figure, she probably wouldn't have ever responded to him on Instagram. Do you and Sarah ever go and think about ways that you would have possibly met if it weren't for The Bachelor? Do you guys think you would have found each other?
I do not think we would have found each other. Absolutely not. Because I've seen what her DMs look like, and it is crazy. So there's no way that she would ever have seen me amongst the myriad of thirsty dudes out there.
Okay, so your blue check mark really helped too, but also her being a Bachelor fan really helped.
Yeah, I don't know if the blue check mark did anything. I think it was, she was a big fan of the show. She's like Bachelor Nation since like day one. And yeah, I think that she liked me, and then I think that she liked when I became the bartender and was like giving like sweet advice. I think she really liked that, and so she was the one who tweeted me first, and then I DM'd her after that, and then, you know, the rest is history.
Oh man, it's crazy to see. It's awesome to celebrate. Wells, we love you here. We appreciate you. I do know you have a project with iHeart going on right now. For anybody out there listening, tell them about it.
Yeah, I do. I do couple different podcasts, but the one I do with iHeart is called WellsCast, and it's really fun. So I've always been kind of fascinated with how people become successful, whether you're a musician or an actor or what it could be, any, a governor, it could be anything. I've always been super interested in the steps that people have to take to get to those places, because it doesn't happen overnight. Like, overnight success does not exist, even when it seems like that. It takes years and years of work, and there's a lot of people out there that ask me the question, like, you know, how did you get to this point? And yes, like The Bachelorette helped move things along, maybe faster than they normally would. But I worked really, really hard in radio, and I grinded out, and I hustled, and I did all that kind of stuff, and was, like you said earlier, was a very successful DJ in Nashville. And there's a lot of really famous people that have those stories that I like to find out about and showcase. And for those people out there trying to figure out and hack the system and crack the code as to how to become successful, it's a good podcast for that. It shows the steps you need to take and the hustle and the drive that you need to have to become successful. So if you want to listen to that, it's called The WellsCast, and it's fun. And then I also talk to really, really really funny people. We have comedians, musicians, actors, everything. So it's entertaining.
Well, you're always entertaining. We love you dearly. Congratulations on your relationship with Sarah, and vice versa to Sarah. She's a lucky girl. You're a lucky guy. And we look forward to hearing the updates on when and how. I know that the COVID-19 has changed your plans quite a bit here recently. And so we'll look forward to getting you back on soon with an update on when and how you guys are going to be getting married. With that, it's Wells Adams. Wells, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right, guys, we have Grant Kemp on the line. We haven't seen him since his engagement to Lace on Bachelor in Paradise. Welcome to the podcast, Grant.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. It's been a while since I've been able to talk to you guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. I can't complain.
So what have you been doing over the past 4 years? We haven't seen you on any other Bachelor shows, and we're wondering what happened. Well, actually, we did. I did, because you are on Bachelor in Paradise with Jared. But most people don't know that. You're Bachelor in Paradise Australia with Jared.
Yeah. The last show I did was Bachelor in Paradise Australia. It was actually their first season of it. I did that show. I ended up leaving the show with a girl. Things didn't end up working out. I kind of walked in on her cheating on me, but that's a whole different story.
Didn't she then become the Bachelorette in Australia?
She did, actually, yeah. So basically what happened was the whole scandal went down in LA when I flew her out. I walked in on her cheating on me with one of my friends, and then she flew back to Australia like the next day, and like I could tell that the producers already kind of had a plan for her to be the next Bachelorette because they had asked her before, but she couldn't do it because she had like a boyfriend or something like that. And so I knew they had her like kind of in the running for it if she were to break up with me, and that's exactly what happened. So they made her the next Bachelorette, and she put out like a fake story about me to try and cover up the fact that she cheated on me. But it was already too late for them to change who they chose as the Bachelorette when my side of the story came out. So, I mean, she caught a whole bunch of heat for it. And like all this stuff came out the first episode of her season about her cheating on me and people coming forward. Yeah, that was pretty hectic. I was on the Kyle and Jackie O show in Australia, which is like basically the same thing as talking to Ryan Seacrest about how he got cheated on. So like the whole country knew about it going into her season, which was crazy.
Wow, I'm surprised they didn't have you make a little surprise appearance on her season after that.
Yeah, I mean, it did come up. Like, it was such a big deal that the producers did have to make people talk about it because guys were in the house talking about it. Like, yo, she cheated on Grant, like, blah, blah, blah. And so it was such a thing. They had to have it be part of one of the episodes. And she ended up sending a bunch of guys home because of it.
Oh, wow.
Grant, we just recently had Lace on the podcast, and she admitted to still having her her tattoo. Do you still have yours?
I don't have mine. I actually covered it up when we broke up. I covered it up with the black rose, ironically. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was no shade against her, you know. It was me moving on, you know what I mean? I didn't really make a big deal of it, but I technically still have it, but it is covered up with black rose.
When you think back on your Bachelor experiences, is there anything that you would do differently?
You know what? Actually, no, I mean, I wouldn't take back any of it. I definitely am glad that I made the choices that I did on the show. I think I did the right thing when it came to everything I did on all the shows that I was on, you know. People were kind of expecting me to get engaged in Australia when I left the show with my ex.
Jared definitely came back and he was like, I think that Grant's going to get engaged again.
Yeah, no, I was like, I can't do that again, especially on TV, unless it's like, you know, I 100% know. I just couldn't take that chance again. It's fine to take that chance once, but it's like, I don't know about taking it twice, especially not being as confident with that relationship as I was the first one.
Thank goodness he didn't, right?
Yeah, because look what happened.
Before you came on, we had Wells on and we were talking about behind the scenes with Chad, who has a huge part in, you know, this episode.
Yeah.
Do you have any other behind the scenes craziness from Chad, like him eating pork bones that we didn't see on TV?
Oh, like from JoJo's season?
Yeah.
There's a lot that happened like between us on JoJo's season and on Paradise too, because of the Lace thing. You know what I mean? Because Lace was talking to Chad before Paradise started. So that was like a whole messed up thing in the beginning of that too. But I mean, I think, I don't know. I remember there was a couple moments in the house in Pennsylvania when like it was really early in the morning and there was like no cameras. And like me and Chad were just arguing and it was like super heated. And it ended before they could get a bunch of cameras over there. But I remember we almost like fought in the kitchen while somebody was like making bacon or something. It almost like went to blows.
Chad obviously has a huge part in the episode. Are you too shocked by that a little bit? I mean, I'm surprised that he was such a focus.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the way he does things is so explosive that it made sense that like he was a big part of the episode. You know what I mean? Just because he caused so much commotion that it was kind of, you know, production couldn't really ignore that, right?
Yeah, I have to agree. When I think of JoJo season, I think of obviously JoJo and Jordan and how sweet they are, but I also then think about Chad. Like, I just think that he's like the second main character, which is kind of unfortunate for JoJo.
Honest, yeah. I mean, he sort of was, because he knew how to mess with people and like he really knew how to get under people's skin. And I think that it, you know, it was entertaining, to be be honest. I mean, to have people blowing up like that, people love to see that on reality TV. You know?
Do you think that he is the most villainous villain of Bachelor history?
Honestly, yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not even going to, yeah, because I can't, I mean, you have to think about, there's not really anybody else that's left that lasting of an impression on a season, because mm-hmm. you can't bring up JoJo's season and not have somebody say, oh, what about that Chad guy? Like, do you know him? It's like the second thing people say after you hear the word JoJo's season.
The well, let's switch gears for 1 second away from JoJo's season, because we know that life has moved on for you. We were familiar with the fact that you have started a music career that you've been working on now for a few years. Has this always been a passion of yours? You know, I know you just released a new single with is it James Kennedy.
Yeah.
Where'd this come from?
Well, I've always made music almost my whole life. I've been making music since I was like little, but I always did a bunch of songwriting and stuff like that. And I never really released a song. And after, you know, being on a couple seasons of, you know, our shows and stuff like that, I was like, you know what, why wouldn't I just use this as an opportunity to just release some music, you know? So everything's been going really well. I'm actually super excited. I have some collabs on the way with some pretty big artists that I'm super excited about. And yeah, I mean, things have definitely been moving in the right direction. And like, I can't thank the Bachelor Nation enough for kind of giving me that platform and actually taking my music seriously when it comes to me, you know, not just doing reality TV and doing music as well. You know, so I'm super happy about that.
Does your music career mean we will no longer see you on any reality shows?
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say never. I mean, there was a show that I was interviewing to be on that wasn't on ABC that I ended up not doing. And then there was actually supposed to be something in May. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but yeah, I mean, it was Summer Games. I was planning on going on that show, but, you know, that whole thing got canceled because of coronavirus, you know? So, I mean, I probably would have popped out and been on another show, you know, but yeah.
Hey, maybe Summer Games will happen next summer when the actual Olympics happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
That'd be awesome. No, we hope so. Well, Grant, thanks again. Best of luck with your music pursuit. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving us your time.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Grant.
See you, Grant. And finally, the podcast today, we have a familiar name to the Almost Famous team. It's Luke Pell. Luke is joining us right now. What's up, dude?
Hello.
Hi. So, Luke, is it weird to watch this season back? I still watched it back thinking like, man, I don't know how Luke didn't get to runner up, and I don't know how he didn't become the Bachelor after this.
Oh man, there's so many things we don't know about every season, and they're full of surprises. No, it was it's going to be cool. You know, I don't really think I watched the first time around all the episodes, because I was either like, you're on Twitter or you're like talking with other people watching it or whatever. So it'll be cool to kind of watch the highlight reel, I guess, tonight.
So you didn't watch when your season originally aired. Why not? Jared didn't really either. I find that guys don't watch more than girls don't watch.
I had intentions of watching it. Just there were so many distractions that it just didn't. I got to watch a little bit here and there, but it was more like snippets of it. And it almost for me, it became more entertaining to watch it on Twitter as people would like live tweet, throw up the memes, like whatever. It was very engaging on there. And then, you know, what was happening on TV was just enough to get, you know, a little bit of content to go back to Twitter with it. It was kind of funny.
Are you just, I mean, when it comes to, what's your relationship with the show? Does it still excite you, or is this something that you would rather just never happen?
No, I would never go to the point of saying, oh, I wish it never would happen. You know, obviously, for me, that it was ups and downs. I was, you know, my first experience out of the gate for this Bachelorette tonight was so positive and so fun. And like, I had, you know, just a coincidental, you know, organic connection to JoJo. And so all those things that led up to my first experience and made up of that, it was cool, you know, and fun and positive, and came out of it. And then of course, you know, went back for the old Winter Games experiment. And, you know, that was overall, it was a cool experience for me. But then I had, you know, bad press at the end of that in about a 10-second after show snippet. I'm like falling to a villain status almost. So, you know, I had to kind of weather that and, you know, calculate what's happened. Like, is what I'm being perceived as really who I am? Did I do something wrong? Like, all those kind of things. So I was on both sides of the spectrum of having a very positive experience and then a negative experience with it. So, but at the end of the day, I think everything happens for a reason. And I'm so thankful for, you know, the time that I spent, you know, shooting those shows and the relationships, even more importantly, that were built during that time. So
did you have any trepidations when they asked you to come on and do an interview with Chris Harrison, since the last time you were on the show left, you know, you feeling a little villainized?
I didn't really, you know, I felt like, time kind of goes by these shows, there's ups and downs. And I think that, you know, people, you know, it kind of gets sensationalized sometimes, like in the moment. And then like 3 years later, unless people perpetuate it on purpose, like, you know, there's like the guys like Chad Johnson who like decided he wanted to be a professional villain for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, if you're just, hey, you know, that was a time period, that was an experience that we were all going through, I may have said this or didn't say that or whatever, then, you know, wounds heal. And I think that you're like, oh, I was kind of cross with you guys for a little bit, or might have been bitter for a little bit. And then, you know, you get over it. And you're like, yeah, that was still a fun experience. And I learned about myself or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I was excited to catch up with Chris.
You know, it is one of the things that have happened from the reunion shows and the Bachelor GOAT so far, is it's giving people a voice who maybe didn't have the best experience on the show. And I think it's, honestly, I think it's such a positive thing. I mean, comes to mind is you, Luke, and Olivia, you know, great yeah. people who need that redemption.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw the clip where they actually had you and Olivia talking from your season, Ben, and that was, I had that same revelation. I was like, wow, this is actually really cool, because, mm-hmm. you know, I had talked to her through the years about, you know, she had some deeply rooted, you know, pain from the whole experience. And so to kind of see that redemption door open and open that conversation up, I think was such a healthy thing and really cool that this is, you know, playing out like this. So.
The where do you sit now then? I mean, what's your relationship status? Are you out there mingling, dating? Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, you know, so through it feels weird to talk about it because now everything's coming back up, and so I kind of gotten used to, you know, having a private relationship, not being you know, publicly criticized or whatever, or analyzed by my relationship status and whatnot, because I was in a 2-year relationship. Somebody who I love very much and made plans for the future with and all those things. And, you know, a few months ago, it kind of came to a point where it didn't make sense anymore. And of course we're going through, you know, there's a lot of things happening in life, and it's never, you know, just a cookie cutter situation. And we had COVID and lockdown, and we're dealing with all these different things, that are going on. But, you know, we decided to end that relationship, and try to work on it for a while and do that thing. And, so yeah, so really, I guess where I'm at currently is I'm working on myself. I'm just trying to, that was a big shift for me. It's not just, you know, I was in a long-term, very committed relationship. And so, you know, I'm in a place where emotionally I'm just trying to just say, hey, what is the next season of life for me look like? How can I be prepared for that? You know, and be able to be open and to move on, you know? And so anyway, that's kind of where I'm at, just working on myself and focusing on the future right now.
Did quarantine help you musically? Did you have a lot of time to concentrate on that?
I did get to do some work with the music stuff during quarantine. Of course, you know, all the publishing companies and things here in Nashville were taking precautions. And so instead of, you know, writers meeting up, you're doing Zoom rights and things like that. So that actually made it a little tougher. I talked to a lot of songwriters that were like, yeah, man, you know, because it's kind of, you kind of want to get the chemistry right in the room. You got two or three people, maybe you know each other, maybe you haven't met before, and you're trying to say, oh, let's write a song. And there's just so many little variables that go into that. And so the Zoom, you know, piece of it did add some complications. But since then, you know, they've opened up the restrictions, and we've gotten back to being able to hang out with other songwriters and kind of do it like we used to do. So yeah, it's been fun and been good overall, but definitely tough for Nashville as an industry and as a town, the entertainment industry as a whole, because of all the public venue shutdowns and everything for all the guys that were touring and all of that stuff. So, and I guess like you guys, Ben, y'all were still doing the Bachelor on the live on stage thing when this pandemic happened?
Oh yeah, man. I was 20 shows in, had rented my house out in Denver, got to move back in with my parents for a bit. Life changed quickly for me.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. How 20 shows of how many were on the calendar?
66 stops. We went up 20, which is about the whole West Coast. So we'd started to work towards the Midwest, and we were going to get to about 30 shows in the end of the Midwest, and then start on the East Coast again. You know, so Luke, I would love to say that I am a touring expert. I'm unlike you yet. I'm trying, but I do get a taste of it.
Life on the road. Yeah. It's an interesting experience for sure. I mean, yeah, 20, that's a lot of, you got a good taste of it.
It's a lot.
You're only a third of the way, but
no, man, I'm not enough. It's
a lot. Luke, I want to end on a very silly question. Your villain, Chad, as we've talked about, is now in the porn industry. How shocking or not shocking is this move?
Maybe that's a full circle moment for Chad. Maybe he was destined for the porn industry. I don't know. The Chad that I, you know, met on The Bachelorette back then, you know, you could have told me he was in the porn industry like when I met him, and I would have believed you.
Absolutely.
Right? That was Chad Johnson. So, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, who knows? Best of luck to Chad and whatever his aspirations in life are. I'm not one to judge him, but that sounds like a very interesting career shift that he's taken on. But
I actually, Luke, and this is I don't think, Ashley, we've ever actually talked about Chad's on the career on the podcast. I don't know why. I mean, it's maybe just because we brush over it, but yes, that is that you know what, hey, as we celebrate JoJo's season of The Bachelorette and all of her men, we also we got to celebrate the successes of each. Luke, we celebrate your successes. We wish the best for you. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for sharing your time with the Almost Famous Podcast.
Bye, Luke.
Y'all have a great week. See ya.
See you, buddy.
Hey, Ben. I thought that I could give you a little info as to how Chad's life is going because I had him on the.
Where are we going with this, Ashley?
I had him on the. Island.
Oh, okay. I was like, how much do you know about where his life is going, Ash?
On the I Don't Get It podcast about a month ago. Yeah. And so he's moved to Vegas, and he's basically trying to be like the Hefner of porn, where, well, you know, I guess Hefner was in charge of porn, but like more in like a video centric way. And he is trying to like make a Playboy house there, but like it would be a porn house, and like,
yeah.
And then porn stars come and they like rent a room, and then they like, it's a whole house of porn.
You know, Ash, I don't have a lot to say about this. Obviously, you know, Chad's life and my life don't cross paths too often.
No, he
does randomly like tweet some weird stuff to me when he gets angry at something, or, you know, he asks me to fight him. But I don't I don't really like keep up with Chad. I'd say all I have to say to that is this. One of the best parts about Bachelor Nation is everybody goes off and does their own individual things post show, and we get to see that through these recaps and reunions. Is we get to get a little bit of a sneak peek about where life is at for all of these past contestants. But I'll have to listen to that. I'll listen to all.
It's very interesting.
I'm sure it is.
Chad's never been anything but nice to me personally. So we welcome sure. him on, and he did not hold back. It's definitely an almost X-rated podcast.
You know, he's always been nice to me. That's the part that's it's been surprising. Anytime he came on the podcast here or when I've seen him in person, he's always mm-hmm. been he's been kind. You know,
except for those weird tweets he's thrown your way.
Yeah, the tweets just always you know. Make me giggle. Hey, Ashley, again, congratulations to JoJo Fletcher. Her and Jordan Rogers were supposed to be getting married this year, obviously, yeah. as we saw in the interview with Chris Harrison. That has been delayed due to COVID. But we celebrate JoJo. She is a tremendous human with a kind
so
soul,
sweet.
A great heart. She's hilarious. She's one of a kind. She is somebody that we both care about a ton,
yes.
And is somebody that is iconic in the Bachelor world and will be forever. So, hey, congratulations to JoJo, and then also congratulations to JoJo and Jordan on their future relationship and their future marriage. Hey, Ashley, great podcast. You're the best. We'll be back next week with another recap episode. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.